the encouragement of the small group that's
going to be the encouragement of the small group.
Build them up, tie them in, let them bounce around, not with you, but with the other people around here, make them in.
You know, our other people must be somewhat greater with a sense of responsibility.
But with a chance to touch base with you from time to time.
Like everybody in the staff must have some responsibility.
Sure. Chief Dean spent most of the weekend on that. He said she was going out to, apparently she and her family have had some investments in Howard Dennis restaurants around out there. And she was going out to, with the money for their investment. It was a business thing. They have a pattern of dealing in cash. That's the way the family is, has moved. And when they carry stuff out, they carry it in cash. The bills are still in the hands of the Chicago police. It'll be turned over to Hunt apparently today, because it's obviously his money, and we return to him. So until then, John doesn't know whether it's traceable money or not. He's not particularly concerned about it. He doesn't think it is.
I guess the only reason that's why that there is this.
Well, I don't know.
There is the point that. There's no reason that's why it would stand on the staff. That's for sure.
Well, the PR types argue that.
The real problem, I suppose, we have here is whether or not you have the whole administration, president and so forth. It's sort of an aura of making about worse. Say, well, there are any questions. sales are good, and how they advertise. That's that count. I just had a good long talk with our mutual friend Bob, and he's just out now talking to the White House press, and I wanted you to know before he did that he's come in and recommended, after talking to you and leaders around the country, that with his campaign coming up and everything, that he feels that versus own interest require him not to stay on term, but mainly that we need a full-time chairman now that we've got the presidential thing out. And that most everybody thinks Bush should be the man that we've got to do it. So Bob and I got Bush on the phone, continued the arm twisting that he had begun earlier, and Bush has agreed. So he will announce that Bush will accept, as of the inauguration, Bush, of course, will stay on through the session. So I was thinking that in Kansas, if you could put that light up, because it's all the truth. As a matter of fact, Bob came to me right after the Republican convention and said, now look, this is a good time for me to resign, he's better run, and so forth. And I said, no, we don't want to change now. I want you to stay on through the election. So it's not no surprise. It's just a question of having it done the right way. And it was my thought the best way was to have Bob make the recommendation, which he's now done. I have accepted it. I'm going to support Bush, and he'll go in with flying colors, and Bob will continue to be a strong, close advisor and hard fighter, and we trust the re-elected senator. Does that sound all right to you? Thank you.
explain. You've got to be able to say that was covered, as you know, but I think they're wrong. I think you're better off now in the midst of all this peace jazz, but before Christmas and everything else, to get that cleaned up before the year is over, and then let the sands of waves of time wash over the sands. Let Christmas come and
I do a lot because sort of the peacemaker guy put up. Just five line statement, God damn it, write something on five lines. If we had nothing to do with it, but I had nothing to do with it, at least for Christ's sakes. The White House, you know, nobody turned in the White House. No, you don't need for me to sit and hang around and do a big hammer with anything. I won't be able to come with it.
Well, so
thank you.
separate the cases and try them separately, Liddy's case will collapse, which is very much to our interest, of course. In Hunt's case, he's going on the basis he's got a 10-year-old daughter and a lot of problems with his wife getting killed, you know, and so. There's still a lot of legal remedies they're playing with. But none of those get to the key point. Those get to avoiding it getting worse, but they don't get to the point you raise of how do you separate the White House and the president.
Who's got now to buy a national committee, which I approve, I do disapprove of. I mean, it should be said.
What fine? Just according to script. Don't do a good job. The search should make the point clear that he was seeking
press by it.
That he made a point about his conversation at Camp David where he was not asked to step down. He said, maybe Ron would like to comment on that. And I said, I certainly confirm what the chairman said. No time did the president ask him to leave. But
I asked him if he didn't stay after the convention.
Yeah, well, I made that point. But the key was what happened at Camp David.
Right.
And made a point that you met with him to discuss the future of the Republican Party. And at that time, he said that he was seeking re-election and would be leaving at some time. The name of Bush came up and got the reluctant state in. He talked to Bush, and you talked to Bush. This is where we are.
I suppose there have been some sit-down. I mean, here's where I guess we're starting to see the post office and being able to place a call to the office and talk to two people. Jump up and down and say, rah, rah, Bush's going to take it.
Well, first of all, we do have the Colson office now, and we will have the Colson office replaced when Colson goes.
We'll have
the new government in the Senate.
Absolutely.
I wonder if we should approach it. Oh, we don't have to. They'll all react to the motion.
Now we've already, the ground is covered on that.
And I mean, you have told Tommy about Bush, haven't you?
No, not stuck up to know here. I want to call him right now and catch him on both the Bush thing and get his reaction as strong.
He's not a bully, sir.
No.
So, you better get him immediately, though, before he reads about Bush in the paper.
Well, I just want to let you know this.
This is Alderman. Could you give me John Connolly, please?
Now we're going to go up, Scott.
Standpoint of your prestige, and there's no need for you to do anything other than
did say that.
Yeah.
the irony of Texas both parties. On the, his own party thing, he said, well, first of all, I'm mad as hell at Strauss because of what he said on television yesterday where he went on and read me out of the party. And he said, I called him and told him so. I told him I thought his remarks were ill-advised and that I felt he had gone out of his way to take a cut at me that was totally unnecessary. And if he wants to read me out of the party, that he could call a meeting of the party and do it formally, but and that would be perfectly all right. But I also pointed out to him that if it's a sin to, in the Democratic Party to have voted against McGovern, then maybe they better set up a whole new set of moral standards. And so it was pretty rough on him. He was pretty disturbed, and he called me back and expressed his concern again. He said that I just left it on that basis. He says, I consider it now, I may publicly request the Democratic Party formally to censure all those who voted against it. Who voted for Nixon in the last election, might call on publicly for censure motion. And he said, as far as his election is concerned, it won't change a thing. I don't know what deals he had to make, but he said he obviously made some. He said the Libs will try to crucify him now. He brings no strength to the party. He can just go in as a manager, but he adds nothing. He can't bring the South in. The leader of the South in the Democratic Party is George Wallace, and the key is what Wallace does, not what Strauss does.
Wallace over Strauss.
He says the Southern governors will try to keep the Democratic Party together because it's to their interest to do so, and the congressional Southerners will too, for the same reason. And he said the only thing that's going to change them is if we can, if they can have a place to go. And he said if we can figure that out. They need a compelling motivation. They can't go to a void or to a nebulous third party. There's got to be something solid. It's just theoretically, they do that in a minute, move someplace else. But they don't practically. I don't know how they can do it. And he said it's going to take a move, either a positive move by the Republicans or a negative move by the Democrats that force the action. And we just got to wait and see what that is. Because I don't think my turning Republican will do it. I don't think that's a major event. That isn't the kind of thing I'm talking about. That wouldn't be enough. They said, in any event, the timing is not now for that. Now, he is going to Saudi Arabia, leaving on Saturday and Friday, and be there Sunday and Monday. He would like a letter to the king. So I'll have to send a message. And he said, if you need
state protocols and like that. Can you go over there? The small guy, but you know, there's got room for, I don't want any more people around here who hear Andrew Johns. I mean, I made the mistake of the Roger Johnson and all of that, but the Need Eggers and the rest, let's just not have them. But we can get the same quality, in other words, the Steve Bull kind of grace and softness and so forth, incompetent people. We don't have to take loyal friends that are incompetent simply because they're nice. Right? The point that I make here is that it does matter what kind of image you've got. It matters more doing the job properly. If you can get a good image of the heckle and have a pain in the ass or a finch. So I look at those. I realize the choice now. It's a Hobson's choice. So we had a finch and we had Rumsfeld. It's not the best example because he didn't do too badly, but we had a finch and we had a heckle and we had a Romney. All of them were terrible managers. We've got Morton, who's also a terrible manager. We have to keep him because of what he is. We took in Kennedy White. We had to have somebody that looked like a Secretary of the Treasury. He was a terrible Secretary of the Treasury. On the other hand, we replaced with him Schultz. Schultz is going to make this obituary announcement. It won't be worth a damn. It'll be a hell of a good story. It'll be a lead story in the newspapers. But Schultz is not an impressive man when it comes to selling the program. We all know John.
Well, and he just can't do it. Let me make the other side of the case. You take a guy like Romney, who is an impressive man with passion and evangelism and all that. You've got a housing situation around the country now that is an unspeakable disgrace. And so
I feel that I'm arguing for something that probably impossible. I simply say, try to stand, try to get us a few that you know what I mean, is that they're good and safe and so forth. I don't even need to see them. But
powerful, flamboyant cabinet you could have had it, but you wouldn't have been able to run the government with it. You want to run the government, you got to put people in who will and can. Two requirements. Then your flamboyance has got to come from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. It sure as hell isn't going to come from this cabinet.
Well, at least we did it.
But I believe that
we've avoided what we want. We've avoided some pitfalls. I mean, I was sorely tempted to do the Bob Head play. That would have been wrong. You don't go that far. You just don't say, I'll take a guy in this state. You're going to be undersecretary because you get along with her with Mark. That's better to put Whitaker there. Or you don't think so.
It's not a toss-up. I think you're right, John. He's going to do fine there. But he'd be probably no more or no less colorful than Hitt. The practical matter.
Nobody would be more of a man.
He's a good dude. Well, Hitt's very much our man, actually. He has less of more coloration, but it's a close call.
Yeah.
But,
that's hard.
That's hard. Well, there are a lot of hard ones.
We have both now, presumably. More now. Hitt's
still
there.
Hitt's still there, and he'll help John, and John will help him, and that'll be fine. But I am concerned about this thing that you mentioned of having people who can get out around and attract attention and personify the administration, take some of the load off you, there'll be a few. Ned will go in and out of town. Nobody will ever know he was there. I'm afraid
the truth.
Yeah. So
lesson said. That is a totally colorless figure.
But
Brown will do well in his own way. Let's look down the line. Richardson always dulls his way.
I see problems coming up. The problems coming up with Brown that I assume Schultz can get on top of in terms of tracking and so on.
Oh,
but that's down the line. Well, this whole year is going to be a big labor year.
Cost of living council.
Yep. And protectionism, trade legislation, all that kind of thing. It's going to be a very big item. So he's going to have to be tracking with us, or else he's going to be out there sniping away at you one way or the other, and we're going to have to get a line around him. That's a long haul question.
Who's the other mind for Secretary of War?
They're still shopping, as far as I know. We're out of that. That's, as I understand it, the Colson franchise, which is kind of scary. I just don't know what they're coming up with.
Well, you check to see. You tell them we need some share of it. Better know somebody to work. It's not cool, Colson.
Oh, yeah. What the approach that somebody
works for,
what they're doing is taking a guy who is totally acceptable to Brennan. And that means a guy that Brennan is convinced will not cause him any trouble. And causing him trouble may become necessary, and someone's going to have to do it. That'll have to be done somewhere else.
Commerce,
they got it. It's supposed to be an exciting young manager type.
For
undersecretary, it's supposed to look pretty good. But you've got...
Are you going to mind her?
Some possibilities on undersecretaries. In fact, we're figuring on it.
The only other one besides...